It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, what's going on, grappling fans? Welcome back to another episode of Who's Number One. It's your usual host today, myself, Chase Smith, and Michael Sears on my right. Episode 91 today, very exciting things going on in the grappling world. To recap, we have BJJ Stars coming to Flow Grappling this Saturday. First time it's going to be available to our subscribers in Canada, United States, and Mexico. It's a stat card, about 15 A-level fights. We have Gabriel Hoxha versus Kenan Duarte. Claudio Calasanz is taking a Zaki Bahaens. Leandro Lowe is back. He's going to be facing the Hulk, Lucas Barbosa. Anything jumping out to you there, Michael, about matches you're looking forward to, things you want to see?
I like Herbert versus Gaudio. I think it'll probably be a scrap if Herbert doesn't quit or anything. But, I mean, this is exciting, right? I think that since COVID, there's been a bunch of events in the United States. This is the first one back in Brazil, right?
That's right.
I think that's why there's so many guys on it, because they're all stuck down there with the travel restrictions and everything.
Absolutely.
Fight to win as well.
Yeah, Kenan Cornelius is making his debut, right? Yeah. And Victor Hugo is kind of defending that number one spot.
Yeah, Victor Hugo's got the title. He's defending against Max and Kenan versus Mateus Luna. And also big news, got a crazy – who's number one? The name of the show. We got a crazy event going down next week. We just announced Craig Jones today. So Craig Jones versus Hulk, Gary Tonin versus Dante Leon, and Gordon Ryan versus Ronaldo Jr. Basically three main events in one card.
Yeah.
And more to come.
The undercard is actually really, really exciting too.
Yeah.
We'll be rolling that information out soon. But today we have one of the – competitors from the main event. Gordon Ryan is joining us out there from the East Coast. Gordon, how's it going, man? How's your day been so far?
Not bad. Just got back from some training. It's like pouring outside right now, so hanging out inside, talking to you guys. Can't really complain.
The beard's looking full, looking battle ready.
Dude, I'm like kind of torn because it looks like so overgrown and terrible, but I feel like it also makes me look kind of more manly, so kind of like contradicts my voice and like gives me like a little bit more manly features. So it's I don't know what I'm gonna do, if I'm gonna keep it or if I'm gonna shave it for this one. I definitely need a haircut. I definitely need to shape it up a little bit, but I don't know if I'm gonna keep it or leave it long for this one.
Yeah, what do you think about this event that we have coming up? Obviously you were the main event at the last Who's Number One. You submitted Kyle Boehm, and we found sort of a theme of it now is the main event's gonna be no time limit submission only fight with you. And this one's even bigger than the last one. The last one was a big success, but I mean, now we got Gary and Craig and you all in the same car. What do you think about this thing?
Yeah, man. I mean, this is probably one of, if not the most stacked cards of the year. You know, obviously the BJJ Stars event coming up always has big shows, but I mean, to have me, Gary, and Craig on the same card is a huge draw. And I think that we're going to see a ton of exciting matches. You know, Craig's always looking for the finish. Gary's always looking for the finish. And of course, I'm looking to finish in no time limit. So I think it's pretty much three, main event matches on a single card. And it doesn't really get much better than that.
It's got to be fun for you to be able to roll out with a couple of your teammates to compete together, right?
Yeah, it's always nice to have that camaraderie, just to travel together and do the last leg of the camp. You know, the camps are what help us. You know, I feel like peaking for a camp, helps me a lot. And, to be peaking with Gary and with Craig, to get those extra hard roles right before you have to travel to compete. So I think doing the camps with these guys, like, just these camps, ADCC camps, any kind of EBI camps or what have you, it's always good to have the same competition date so you're both peaking at the same time. And just traveling in general with those guys, having my friends to be there with me and to help me and coach me, and it's always a good thing.
We'll get to those two matches with Gary and Craig in a minute here, but let's bring it back to Ronaldo Jr. It's definitely a little bit of a matchup coming from left field.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect Ronaldo Jr. to be someone that's on your hit list, but how did this match come around? What caught your attention there? Why did he stand out as a potential opponent for you? And how excited are you to finally get going and do this thing?
First and foremost, you have to respect the guy. You know, he's taking a match that many people wouldn't take.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side of the coin, you know, why wouldn't he take it? I mean, nobody really knows who he is. When the match was announced or, like, even being talked about, people were like, why is Gordon competing? Why would Gordon ever fight this soccer player? Like, they thought it was – everyone thought he was talking about Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's a money match.
Like, no, it's
yeah,
Ronaldo.
That's money.
I was like, no, it's Ronaldo Jr., like the guy from Atos. So, you know, it's very intelligent regardless. It's a win-win for him. And so actually a lose-lose for me. You know, if he wins, he gets my $10,000, which, number one, is more than he's made – competing, I think, in his entire black belt career, as far as I know. I looked at BJJ here, as most of the stuff is IBJJF, so he doesn't not making any money there. You know, his brand is instantly recognized as one of the biggest brands in the sport. And really, all that I get if I win is just another highlight against someone who I should have beaten to begin with. So, I mean, I'm really giving him like all the best odds here. So, you know, it's just smart for him to take a match like this.
So something that really lit a fire under you that kicked this off was he sort of alleged that you might be out of shape. Why did that drive you so crazy? And I mean, you pride yourself on being – I know why, because you pride yourself on being the hardest worker in the sport. What was your reaction when you saw the comment from him originally?
Well, it was just strange because, like, for the one time that I was ever respectful to anyone, like, this was the time someone's like – because initially someone's like, you should compete against Gordon. And he's like, I'm ready whenever, or something along those lines. And I was like, it would be an honor to compete against you with, like, the little, like, praying hands like this. And that's all I said. I was like, it would be an honor to compete against you. And I was like, very nice, very respectful. And he comes back and he's like, we can do it any day. And just in case you're out of shape, you can send one of your boys for me. I'm ready. And I was like, all right, motherfucker. I was like, we can do it tomorrow if you want to. So ever since he said that, I've just been crushing him left and right at every single tournament. He just has no comeback to anything that I can say to him. He's getting slaughtered in every turn.
So that's what you get for being nice. You tried to be a nice, polite Gordon Ryan, and somebody talked trash back to you. So why is it so important to you? You were very emphatic when we were doing the negotiations that you wanted it in the contract that you had to pay $10,000 of your own money if you lose by submission. Well, I guess that's the only way to lose. So why is it so important to you that you would have to pay him $10,000 of your own money?
Because I want to show people, like, over and over again, you know, I'm always talking about how people don't want to compete against me. I'm talking about how, you know, the best guys in the world are here, and I'm somewhere, like, way, way up here. Like, so this is a way that I think will really show the audience, besides from what's going to happen in the match, just the confidence I have that I know what I'm doing in the sport, and these other guys just don't have the technology that we have. So I wanted to put my money where my mouth is and once again show the audience, show the fans that there's no one even remotely close to my level in no-gi submission grappling. And I think putting my own money in the line, like not betting him that anything, just saying, listen, if you win, I'll give you 10 grand. I think that's something that's going to be respected by a lot of people and really show the people that, you know, this is a different kind of confidence and this is a different kind of level that we're operating on.
Gordon, this is a bit of an unusual question, but something that I like to ask athletes. Is there anything that you like about Ronaldo's game? Anything that you watch when you're watching tape of him and say, oh, that's kind of cool, that's interesting, or is it just kind of not vibe with you at all?
You know, he seems that when he is the aggressor, he does really push the pace. I haven't watched too many of his matches where he's on defense. I watched a match with him and Jake Watson when they were brown belts, which was just god awful. It seems like when he is the aggressor, like when he gets his rhythm going and he's in an offensive cycle, he kind of puts a decent amount of pressure. Like he doesn't really have an ability to put. This is why I don't understand what his goal is, because he doesn't have any mechanics to actually finish a submission. And I get my guess is that he's just trying to tire me out, but he doesn't really have any way to tire me out. Like, he can't put positional pressure on me through guard passing or through submissions because he doesn't know how to pass. He doesn't know how to do submissions. He kind of just, like, spazzes around. So he does move well in the sense that he just keeps moving and he tries to be the aggressor, but which, you know, I can respect, but he doesn't really he's not good. Like, it's just, that's the issue. Like, you know, he just moves instinctually. He's got pretty good movement skills as far as athleticism, decent cardio. He can keep a good pace for a decent amount of time. But other than that, there's not really too much that really impresses me. If anything, it's just like him kind of moving around. He doesn't really – he's not tactically sound either. Like, he gives up sweeps, accepts bottom position really easily, doesn't really ever do things to put positional pressure on the guy through loose or through tight passing or submissions especially. Has a really poor submission rate. So, I mean, I don't really know what his game plan is other than just showing up for a paycheck.
All right, let's say if you're calling your shot and you're predicting how this match is going to play out, how do you think it goes down between you and Ronaldo next Friday night?
Well, I have a submission that I've been working on that I'm definitely going to hit on him. I'm going to release it like a little bit closer to the event. But the gist of it is I see him coming out. He's not going to probably accept bottom position. If he does, it's going to be a mistake because he's going to get immediately passed. I see him coming out. I'm probably going to sit to guard. And he's just going to spaz around, do like a shitty no-gi long step passes, which will never work on anybody. At some point in the match, I'm going to use either leg entanglement or some kind of ashiwaza or teiwaza or sumigaishi, something to come up on top. And once I get on top of him, he's not getting up. And then that's going to be pretty much the end of the match. Like, when I get on top of him, you can pretty much assume that the match is over.
Yeah, I mean, that's similar to how the BAME match played out. As soon as you were able to get on top, you took control. You brought up a lot about what's your record against Atos Black Belt as Andre's Black Belt as a Black Belt?
So since Black Belt, Mike Perez, obviously, you know, never hide behind my losses. Mike Perez beat me when we were both purple belts at the finals of the 2014 trials. 2014 to the 2015 ADCC. I lost to Josh Hayden in the first trials and then Mike Perez in the finals of the second trials after I beat, I think, James Brasco in the semifinals. Since Black Belt, I've beaten Hulk twice. I've beaten Kynan by submission. I've beaten Keenan twice by submission. So I'm 5-0 against Andre's Black Belt since Black Belt.
Yeah. And obviously, you're supposed to fight Andre at ADCC 2021. You've exchanged a lot of words with Andre online over the years, going way back. You've exchanged words with Hulk, with Kynan, with a bunch of people on this team now, Ronaldo. Is this something that you enjoy? Do you get a kick out of running up your win count against the Atos guys? Is this a rivalry that you – I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun because, you know, Andre's always in the corner. For besides the Kynan match, I believe Andre was in the corner of everybody that I'd beaten from his team. And Andre, I've been trying to get, I've posted like photos of me trying to get like matches with Andre since I was like just got my black belt, like 2016.
Yeah.
So it's just fun to constantly keep beating his guys, and he just refuses to compete against me. And the more time, like if he would have fought me back then, he may have beat me, especially like under ADCC rules, he definitely would have beat me. Under the EBI rule set, I think I would have beat him. But I think that the more time that goes by, the worse it's going to be for him. Like, he's just getting more physical, as you saw in the last ADCC, but he's not really getting any better. I'm constantly getting massively better, like from month to month. Like, if I fought myself last month, I would crush myself. The more I learn about the sport, the easier it is to get better at a more rapid rate. So I think that it's like 2021. It's going to be a rough road for Andre.
I definitely hope that transpires. You know, it's up in the air right now, but you got to think slowly picking off his guys is somewhat motivating for Andre to come back and be the final boss.
Absolutely.
So maybe that will happen at ADCC 2021.
But we have a couple more too.
Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah, I mean, we're going all in on that.
This is all just adding fuel to the fire.
It's going to be awesome. But a couple more matches that we want to talk about here.
Yeah, a couple of your teammates.
I don't know which one I'm more excited for, but let's talk about Dante versus Gary Toner. You know, you and Gary go back a long, long ways. What do you like about this matchup? Gary's obviously already beaten Dante, but maybe
I think
like,
Dante's also improved a lot. So
that's what I was
going to
say.
He's got some big wins. He won Nogi Worlds. He beat Canuto. He beat Izaki. So... yeah, what do you think about this matchup?
I'm really excited for this. You know, Dante's not a guy who stalls. Like you saw even at ADCC, he went like right into Gary's game, and he tried to legitimately beat Gary. So, you know, that's something I always respect. Dante goes and he tries to finish guys. He tries to actually win the match and do jiu-jitsu. So that's something I can't say anything negative about Dante. He comes out and he tries to win the way that you should win in the sport. With that being said, that's a very poor game to play against Gary, because Gary is very, very dangerous, very, very hard to hold down, very hard to submit, and very good at entering into submissions from pretty much any given situation. I think it's going to be a very tightly contested match. I give Dante definitely the physical edge. Dante's very strong. I feel like he's much more physically strong, much physically stronger than Gary is. But I give Gary the technical advantage by a good margin, and especially in the leg lock department, as we saw in ADCC. You know, Dante's been heel hooked before. He's been heel hooked by Mike Perez, and he's been heel hooked by Gary in ADCC. So I think that if he finds himself in a situation where Gary entangles his legs, he's going to be in some trouble. But that being said, Dante also has a very tight guillotine. So, you know, it could go back and forth. Dante could be latching onto some front headlocks. Gary could be latching onto Dante's legs. So I'm really excited for that one. It's, you know, two guys that go out and want to win the match by submission.
How would you describe Gary's style? I mean, it's such a unique style, right? Like, he never stops. It's like he has a never-ending gas tank. He's always attacking, and he's attacking in very unorthodox ways a lot of the time. He's going angles that you wouldn't predict when you're watching a match. Like, how would you describe Gary as a competitor?
Yeah, that's the thing about Gary is you never know, like, what he's going to do. Like, he's just – like, he'll give you his back, and he's like, oh, like, what is this guy doing? And next thing you know, he just rolls into your legs, and you get a heel up. So it's very unorthodox, where he's very lackadaisical most of the match. And then when he decides to kind of pick it up, next thing you know, he's like, you know, on your back or, you know, deep in on your legs and has a heel hook. So it's very difficult to deal with when you're competing against him. And it's almost impossible to train for, because who else does that? And, you know, on top of that, he's impossible. Like, we just trained today. Like, he's impossible to hold down. He's got very, very good submission defense. And as far as pinning him, yeah, good luck pinning him, like, for any amount of time. He's just – his pin escapes and his submission escapes make him so dangerous, because you feel like you're in a good spot, and next thing you know, you've committed all your weight to trying to pin him, and then next thing you know, your center of gravity is over his, and you're in a submission. So it's just hard. He's just hard to deal with all around. I think that it's going to be, you know, one of the most exciting matches of the card for sure.
Absolutely.
100%.
I think you were pretty diplomatic with Dante. I don't think it's going to be that way when we talk about the third match. Another one of your teammates got another Atos versus DDS guy matchup here. Another one of your teammates, Craig Jones versus Lucas Hulk Barbosa. What do you think about this matchup?
So pretty standard Hulk versus DDS kind of game plan. As the fans watching, I want you to look at the difference between how Hulk played against Felipe Andrew and the way that Hulk is going to play against Craig. Because Hulk engaged Felipe Andrew in leg locking exchanges, tried to go after him, and actually tried to do jiu-jitsu with Felipe and just immediately got submitted. Hulk will not be doing that with Craig. Hulk is basically, what I assume is going to happen, is he's going to try his shitty no-gi long step pass a few times. That's going to fail. And then he's going to start ripping shitty Estima locks, because it's fight to win rules. So he's going to start ripping shitty Estima locks from open guard to try to get an advantage on the submission scorecards, which everyone knows that they would never do any damage, but they'll probably score something on that rule set. And then stall Craig out and then just win by like blocking shitty Estima locks and moving away from Craig.
What's your advice to Craig there? If you know that Hulk is going to be playing this distancing game where he's going to play a little bit safer and also knows the format fight to win, what are you telling Craig going into this?
He's going to play a seated guard. I think that playing a supine guard on his back, it's very hard to deal with stallers who just want to push away, especially lock a Estima lock on you because your feet are up in the air. So I think playing a seated guard and just constantly harassing Hulk's feet to never give him the opportunity to start to move around and get his passing game going. Constantly keeping him off balance by harassing his feet with Craig's feet and the hands, getting Hulk off balance, and then either coming up on top or entering into his legs. because once you get Hulk in positions where you actually make him do jiu-jitsu, he's pretty ineffective. If you watch like our entire AGCC match, it was like 13 minutes of like me just trying to get a hold of him. And then once I actually got him into a position where he was forced to do jiu-jitsu, I just immediately took his back. So if Craig can just get a hold of him and force Hulk to actually do jiu-jitsu with him, it's going to be a rough day for Hulk. And the question is, can Craig do that?
Hulk can be pretty aggressive, like we've seen with his match with Lovato, his match with Roberto. Both he won by submission. So you're saying he's going to stall. Are you implying that he's scared of Craig, that he's scared to engage with Craig?
Yeah, you know, Hulk is not that dumb. He knows that Craig is very, very dangerous. And when he feels Craig and when he feels the stickiness and effectiveness of Craig's grip and how hard his guard is going to be to pass, I don't care what Hulk says before the match. When he goes in and he gets in there, he's going to play a very cagey game out there.
How motivated is Craig right now? Everybody saw Submission Underground. I know you were upset about it. Craig was upset. Everybody thought it was a BS verbal tap. Is Craig just really ready to go after that?
Yeah, you know, man, you got to give Craig all the credit in the world. I've seen with my own eyes literally thousands of people who have came to the doors of Enzo's and said, I want to be the best in the world. I want to do this. I want to do that. Craig is one of the guys that I can count on one hand who actually came into Enzo's and did the things that he has to get better. This guy fucking moved across the world. He lived in Australia, and now he moved, and he lives like permanently in Hoboken. Like, he has an apartment in Hoboken. He like literally moved from Australia to America just to get good at jiu-jitsu. And he's there every single day. He's trying to get better. You know, he's doing everything that you know, that we're doing as far as sessions go, as far as, you know, the drilling, and he does camps with us. He's part of the team now, and I have to give him credit because it's not easy to do. Especially like a guy like Craig, where he's spoken about this before, where you come in, and of course in Australia, you know, he's one of the top guys in the world. He's just beating everybody up over there or wherever else he goes in the world. And then he comes into Enzo's and he has to start doing these positional drills, and he's just getting the shit kicked out of him every single day. And to keep coming back after that, like after you travel the world and you beat everybody up, and then you do a mounted round with a guy like Doug, or a turtle round with a guy like Brian Glick, and you lose the round, where guys are escaping or holding you down or submitting you, to keep coming back and to get, you know, good defensively, good offensively from all these different positions, is something that you really have to give him credit for. So, you know, he's hungry as ever. You know, he really changed his life, and he's doing what you have to do to get better. So, you know, I'm really excited for this match and where he goes from here, to see where he goes from here.
So that's a normal thing for you guys. And I'd imagine people showing up at Enzo's and being like, yeah, I'm here, I'm going to be a pro grappler. And then a couple weeks later, they just disappear, huh?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yep, yep.
Like, but thousands of people. Like, you know, yeah, like, no. Oh, I'm coming to Enzo's. Like, on Instagram, hey, I'm coming to Enzo's. I'm going to be the next Gordon Ryan, your next Hodger. And then next thing you know, they like show up for, like, three sessions. And then that's it. That's all she wrote. When they find out they have to wake up, like, especially when I lived, like, deeper in Jersey, like, they would, like, what do you, like, what's your daily schedule? Oh, like, I wake up at 4:30 a.m. every day and, like, travel 2.5 hours into the city to do John's class and then sleep in the mats. They're like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I find myself firmly in that camp.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure rounds with Nicky Rod probably scare a few of them off. But
that's a whole other story.
So my last question for you would be, we're doing this no time limit submission only format. Nobody really wants to do it. It seems like a lot of guys have just conceded they can't submit you and they can only beat you in other formats. Who do you think would be the biggest challenge to you out of active competitors? Out of active competitors, who would be the biggest challenge to you in this format, do you think?
So first people who pop into mind is Craig and Gary, because they're two guys who actually can do submissions and are hard to submit. I assume you meant people outside of the team. Gary and Craig on any given day can definitely finish me. Like, if they get a good position on me, they can finish me. If I give them an arm bar or a triangle or something, they can finish me. Whereas I feel like if anybody else in the world locks those positions, I can just get out. Probably active competitors. I mean, there's not really too many people who are good at submissions. Felipe would be up there just because he has decent back takes and, You know, obviously the back is such an asymmetrical position. He could submit me theoretically, but he couldn't submit me to ADCC 3 years ago. So the chance of him taking my back or getting remotely close to my back and then finishing me from the back are very, very low. Nobody else really does submissions. I mean, Marigali doesn't. He does. Marigali's very good submissions, but he doesn't train. He doesn't compete no-gi. I mean, it's a hard sell.
Yeah.
For no time limit. It's tough.
Well, that's good for you. I mean, if the two biggest threats to you are on your team and in the room with you, I mean, that's a hell of an
smart
advantage.
Strategy.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
Oh. Another guy who would like. You have to be able. If you can't submit me, like if your submission skills aren't good, you have to at least be able to exhaust me positionally. I just don't, there's nobody out there who can really do that. Like everyone's so afraid of engaging my guard, no one really put pressure on me. So, I mean, it's slim pickings at this point. That's all I want, really. I just want people to come out and say, listen, we can't beat you in this rule set, you're the best. And I'll be like, okay, well then I'll start doing other rule sets. But everyone's like, no, I can beat you, I can beat you, I can beat you. And then everyone doesn't want to compete. So
there it is, guys. You want to surrender.
You want everybody to bend the knee then. You want everybody to bend the knee and come out. Yeah, we give up. We surrender. We cannot tap you. And then you'll go back. Hey, maybe so that we can get them all to do that.
We'll
way we can have
change.org doc. We'll just settle it off and then we'll change it up a little bit. Gordon, thank you so much for calling us. I know you got a busy schedule. Really looking forward to seeing you at Who's Number One next week. And is there anything else on your chest that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No. You know, Ronaldo, may God be with you.
There it is, guys. I think you can't get more definitive than that. Ronaldo needs a little extra help. And Gordon, thanks again for the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Good luck training. And we'll see you next weekend at Who's Number One. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thank you, guys.